the volume.
Okay, here with my guy Stucky, Action Network, every Thursday morning, Action Network podcast, betting galore. We had a tough week last week, Stucky. The Eagles got destroyed, the football team stinks, and the Chiefs, I think, shocked us all by getting blown out in Tennessee. But we're 10-10-1 on the season.
Yeah, I guess quick plug here. Action, you can listen to Action Network podcast, Action Network app too. You can follow all my bets. I got out of the week 4-4, but those are my three biggest bets, and they killed me. I mean, the Washington football team should have covered. That was the one that really frustrated me. I mean, if you look at the box score, they should have won the game. They were inside the 10-yard line about five times and didn't score against one of the worst red zone defenses in the NFL. But I deserve everything that I got for betting the Chiefs as a favorite. But it was one of the ugliest weeks on the NFL schedule this year, so I'm happy that it's over with and we're on to week 8.
Yeah, it feels like a much better slate. I mean, that slate even last week on paper was awful. This week on paper looks pretty good. Let's start with hottest team in the league in the Bengals playing the Jets. Jets getting a lot of points here, 10.5. Zach Wilson injured. Mike White, who I've never seen play before, but 10.5's a lot of points. The Jets, a little bit like the Lions, can be frisky just when you don't expect it. And the Bengals, to me, I would take the Jets here plus 10.5. Like, they're not good enough to expect they're going to play shitty teams and blow them out. So I'd go with the Jets here. How about you?
Yeah, Mike White, well, I played at Western Kentucky. Actually know him a bit. And if you look at this line, and I agree with you on the surface. I mean, I played the Jets plus 10.5 here. I think this line is outrageous. This is the same Bengals team that was a 3.5-point favorite at Detroit. The same Bengals team that got shut out in the first half against Jacksonville and needed a miracle to come back to beat the Jags at home. This is a Bengals team that one win, like this happens in the NFL season. They have one extraordinary win. All of a sudden, they're everyone's Super Bowl darling. I don't see it. Number one, this is a third straight road game for them. They have the Browns next week. They're coming off one of their biggest wins in their franchise over the past 15 years. And now they're going up to New York to play the lowly Jets. So just on the surface, a lot of potential for a flat spot here. But the Jets, look, here's what this look ahead line before what happened last week. The Jets got crushed off of a bye against a team that they just played in their division a couple weeks before. Bad look for Salah. So you got to downgrade them. But the look ahead line was 3.5, which is what I had it at before last week. So Bengals minus 3.5 at the Jets. All right, Bengals crush the Ravens, adjust them about 1.5. You know, the Jets, they get blown out, adjust them down 1.5. You're at around 6.5. Okay, Zach Wilson is out. Who cares? I mean, Zach Wilson, by every metric, has been the worst quarterback in the NFL. It cannot get any worse than what he's put out there. And, you know, he's had one competent game all year against Tennessee, and he was kind of just bombing the ball, and he got lucky a bit. So I don't think there's that much of a drop off. Say it's a point, which is, I think, extreme. You're at 7.5. This line, the overreaction based on what we just saw last week is crazy. I can't tell you anything great about the Jets. They have a decent defensive line that maybe can get some pressure. But just an NFL team at home coming off an embarrassing loss, catching a team in an awful spot, catching over 10 at home. I just don't think there's that much of a drop-off after losing Zach Wilson. So give me the New York Jets.
I think I heard this stat. I'm sure you'd know it. The Jets have not beat the Patriots since 2011. Is that true? Does that sound right?
Yeah, the Jets have not beat the Patriots in regulation since 2011. They've won two overtime games, one in 2013 and one in 2015. That's it.
I mean, the Belichick owns the Jets, and definitely under Brady, they were never losing the Jets. Now, I don't know if he's covered every spread, but he's been, you know, them kicking the shit out of the Jets is not like, oh my God, like he's been doing it pretty consistently since a couple of those Rex Ryan teams. He owns them.
And yeah, they've dominated him. And Bill does not like them. I mean, he was trying to put up a 60 spot on them last week. But you should get the Jets' best effort, I assume, over, I mean, from Sal will have them ready after that embarrassing effort last week. And then this is, I could see Cincy, like that Jacksonville game, you come out here, they have 3 points at the half. Just shocking.
I'm with you. I think I kind of expect that. Let's go to the AFC South that, you know, the Titans are in control. They got a 2-game lead and they've already beat them. The game is in Indy. Indy's won 3 games in a row. Carson's, you know, that was a monsoon for us out here on the West on Sunday night. And, you know, he made some plays and he was pushing the ball downfield. Feels like they've got their mojo back a little bit. You know, it feels like the Titans are just are going to be a very, very popular team. I don't know if I would even bet this game. I guess I'd take Indy minus one. What do you say?
Yeah, I think the Colts get it done here. They're not being respected enough in the market, in my opinion. Look, they've covered 4 straight, and they should have won 4 straight.
People with the Ravens,
they went to Baltimore. Their kicker's not hurt, and you know they're up big in the fourth quarter. That was an impressive effort in that game. They win that game, which they should have. You know, all of a sudden, the narrative is different. But there's still a lot of doubt around Carson Wentz. But it looks like this marriage with Frank Reich is working. Yeah. Jonathan Taylor is playing excellent.
Baller.
And it's setting up the play action. Their offensive line is now healthy with Nelson back. Braden Smith might come back. You might also get T.Y. Hilton back. So, like, this is a much healthier offensive unit. And look, you just can't overreact to one game. The Chiefs are just a mess. Tennessee's still a bottom 5 defense with horrendous corners, and they can't defend the run. So Indy's going to get their run game going, and they're going to be able to attack this banged-up, already poor secondary. On the other side of the ball, Tennessee is going to get theirs. Look, their offense is really good, but Indianapolis, if you look at DVOA or EPA per play, number one rush defense in the NFL. They don't have to commit too many resources to stopping Derrick Henry. They'll play a lot of zone. They won't give up a big play. Tannehill will move the ball some. The Titans will get their points, but I think the Colts can get some key stops in the red zone or on third down. This is their season. They should pull up all the stops here. I mean, if they lose this game, it's going to be, you know, the division's pretty much out of the question. It's going to be tough sledding to the playoffs. Whereas the Titans, look, it's hard to get up 3 weeks in a row in the NFL. They just beat the Bills and the Chiefs in back-to-back weeks at home. So I think the Colts get this done. It won't be easy, but I'll trust Reich and his staff here and this Colts team that's really starting to get rolling.
One thing, if Indy wins this game, they'd be 4-4. Then they get 2 more home games, Jets, Jags. Like, we could look up in 3 weeks and the Colts all of a sudden could go from 1-4 to 6-4. You'd be like, what the hell just happened? I mean, they were a playoff team picked by, I know, me coming into the season. And you saw last week, like, physically they can hang because the Niners are a physical team and they got no problem getting physical. That's the one thing. The Chiefs are a little bit of a softer team, and so are Tennessee, and they just outplayed them. But it's not like Tennessee, beside the run game, their defense is soft. You know, I'm with you. I like the Colts in this spot.
Yeah, it's an amazing swing game because they lose, then you're 3-5.
Yeah, then it's in trouble.
Losses to the Titans, and you're basically like 4 games back in the division.
It'd be hard to get to 10 wins for they got a tough schedule, the Bills and the Bucks. But the night game, a team kind of, I would say, like the Colts that – if you watch them on the right game, Minnesota can look pretty good. I mean, offensively, listen, even I was a Cousins hater for a long time, but he's played really well for a couple years now. I mean, offensively, they're dynamic. Jefferson's a star. Thielen's really good. Even, you know, their backup running back can play, let alone Dalvin's a stud. Dallas, whose defense, you know, I mean, Diggs has made a bunch of plays, but I don't think they're like the 85 Bears or anything. Dax banged up, which is not nothing. I mean, he's still kind of going through this after a bye week, so he's clearly injured with that calf. Minnesota at home, that place is going to be going apeshit, I would imagine, doing the skull chants. This is a tough one for me. I mean, it feels like a lot of people are going to take Dallas. I might just go Minnesota plus 2. What do you say?
Yeah, I tease Minnesota. I'm going to bet Minnesota. I bet some Minnesota plus 2. I'm waiting to see if we get enough Dallas love in the market. Dallas, by the way, 6-0 against the spread, and that's 1 year after they started 0-8 against the spread. They started 0-8 last year, but they've covered every game. They burnt me in New England, but I had no issues taking. I would take New England again in that spot. You know, they lost plus 4 in overtime, but Minnesota, sort of like you mentioned, Indianapolis. You look at what they've done this year; they're only 3-3, but their first 2 losses of the year came against 2 first place teams, the Bengals and Cardinals, in games they should have won. You know, they had a botched fumble review on the road in Cincinnati. I don't know what in overtime they lost. They should have won that game. They make a chip shot field goal. They beat Arizona in Arizona. All of a sudden, this team is 5-1, and they're probably a 3.5 point favorite here. The one game they lost was against the Browns in a tight, low-scoring game. The Cowboys' defense, if you look at a lot of the, you know, if you look at EPA per play, Vikings 6th in the NFL, Cowboys 9th. If you strip out all the turnovers, though, the turnover luck for Dallas, which is just not sustainable, a lot of tip balls, and the Dallas is 2 times as many turnovers as Minnesota. You strip all that out, there are a slightly below average defense.
I mean, they have a corner with seven. They have a corner with seven interceptions. I mean,
it's insane. So there's going to be some regression coming Dallas' way. It's still below average to below average defense. Minnesota's defense getting better each week. They're getting a ton of pressure, which I think is going to cause Dak some problems if he can't move around with his calf. You also have there's an outside chance Dak doesn't play. So if you bet this now, obviously if he got ruled out, which I don't think he will. This line would go to Minnesota more than a field goal favorite. So I like the way this Vikings team is playing. Both teams coming off of a bye. Again, desperate situation for the home team here. Minnesota doesn't win this game. It's going to be an uphill climb. Plus, whereas Dallas pretty much already has the NFC East locked up. But I think Minnesota's a little undervalued in the market. Now, this offense is playing so well. And then you get a healthy Dalvin Cook now. And, you know, you can attack this Dallas defense. Last year, these two teams met. The Vikings averaged 7 yards per play. They should go move up and down the field. Now, look, Dallas's offense, excellent. They're going to move the ball. But where does Minnesota excel under Zimmer with a healthy defense? Last year was the exception to the rule. Third downs, red zone. Always elite. So I think that Minnesota will just get enough stops in the red zone, hold Dallas to some field goals, a couple third down stops. Their offense will move the ball at will. I think Minnesota pulls this out.
FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every NFL game day. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet the same game parlay, bet 3 legs or more, and if you bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back. Up to $10. FanDuel's easy to use, it's safe and secure, easy payouts as little as 2 hours. It's America's number one sportsbook. There's no feeling like nailing a same game parlay bet. That's why I'm doing it. So lock in your bet on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. New to FanDuel Sportsbook, they're also offering a risk-free $1,000 bet if you prefer that. Just sign up with promo code COLIN, and if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. That's promo code COLIN. 21 and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 533-42-ARIZONA, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit fanduel.com/RG, Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Michigan, Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789, Tennessee. Visit www.1800gambler.net, West Virginia.
Okay, let's go one bonus pick really quick. It's easily my favorite game on the board. After Tomlin went on his rant, he's pissed off. You know, the Steelers are 3-3. They're very much alive, just as any team 500 right now is. On the road against the Brownies, who, let's face it, with the injuries, Baker's banged up, and him and Case, as you saw on the Thursday night, I don't even know if there's that big of a difference. But they're clearly just, when they're not as healthy, they're not as good as I would have thought they would have been. I mean, they were good on paper, but take away some guys, that running attack, even though the guy last week who had never heard of goes for 140 yards. But it's going to be a little more difficult against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I love the Steelers plus 3.5 here.
Yeah, Hook is key here. This has all the makings of a low-scoring affair. And look, this is a classic Tomlin spot. Tomlin is 27-10 against the spread against teams with a winning record when he's an underdog. That's insane. 27-10 against the spread. Classic rah-rah spot. He is your fight. You know, when you want to... We have to go to war. It's us against the world. You need a motivational edge. He's as good of a coach as there is in the NFL, which is why you see him thrive as underdog. And you see the Steelers sometimes when they're big favorites, they come out really flat because they don't have that same energy. But this is a classic Tomlin spot off of a bye, you know, really important game for your season. playoff revenge, right, from last year when they got stomped by Cleveland in the playoffs. And, you know, you have all this, all these rumors swirling. This is a perfect opportunity for Tomlin just to rally the troops. So don't disagree with you there. I am curious to get your thoughts on the USC coaching rumors. I was like, why would Tomlin ever want to take this job? He's been so comfortable. You got to take a pay cut, I assume. Go try to recruit kids in California. I didn't think it made any sense. It looks like James Franklin from the rumors is going to be there, but I was curious to get your thoughts there.
Yeah, I mean, I think a school like USC, you know, there are going to be people in that operation, some of the big boosters that have stupid money, right? And they view themselves as every bit as big of a job as any NFL team or college team. So those names get thrown out. And then Carson Palmer, I mean, he might be going to a meeting with like five guys worth a combined $3 billion and they're throwing names out. And Carson's like, fuck yeah, I used to play against Tomlin. He'd be badass here. And they're like, Put his name at the top of the list. And then he gets asked and he's furious. One, I mean, if Sean Payton had been mentioned by Carson Palmer, he would have been asked as well. But like, I'm with him. The Steeler job is infinitely better. He probably makes, what would you guess, $10 million a year with all the winning he's done for all these years? He makes a lot of money. I think my issue with James Franklin is if you get the USC job, right or wrong, everyone's going to. Yeah, I think regions matter in college football, unless you're Urban Meyer. Then you can coach wherever. But he's not on that level. And he won 11 games a couple times there, but some of the programs were down. Now the Big Ten's good and much more competitive, and he's having a more difficult time. He can recruit, but SC's always recruited. You know, look at Mario. Like, Oregon is good, but they're not like some dominant program for how they're recruiting. Like, you're expected to win. And I think James Franklin is a very, very risky pick. You could argue Penn State is every bit as good of a job as USC. Like, he's recruiting top five classes. Why would he? And he's getting paid big money. Why would he leave? You know, maybe just because the conference is easier, but that's not how coaches think, you know? So I think USC is, LSU is a way, to me, LSU is a step above USC in terms of the ranking of the jobs. And I think, I would imagine USC is going to, unless James Franklin, the deal's already done, which it kind of, I don't know if you saw him talk yesterday. He was basically, it feels like he's gone.
Hitting at it. Yeah. He didn't say no or, he was basically saying like, we'll talk about this later. Yeah, it's interesting. There's some of the Pac-12, I mean, U.S., I think it's better when you have a dominant Pac-12 team. I mean, and Oregon's still recruiting really well. USC, it's sad what's happening with Washington, and they're trailing off in the recruiting department as well. But yeah, I think that you need a West Coast guy there, and you need someone that's a lot more competent than Clay Helton was.
And I think sometimes you overthink it, right? Like, let's say LSU hired your guy Mark Stoops of Kentucky. Is he Nick Saban? I don't know, but there's no chance he would lose. Look at what he's doing at Kentucky. So if you gave him LSU, I know he's going to win. And I would be shocked if he didn't make the playoffs within 3 or 4 years. They would be like, it's not quite sexy of enough a name. The guy at Oregon State, Jonathan Smith, who's winning now at Oregon State, who was Chris Peterson's offensive coordinator at Washington when they were really good. Like, that's not a sexy hire. But here's what. He's from LA. He's winning in the Pac-12 right now. He might not be. Everyone's looking for Nick Saban. Like, I think a lot of these guys overthink the room here. You just go for a less sexy hire, but one that you know at minimum is good. Like, James Franklin could be a disaster. Like, his ego is going to be big. He thinks it's probably a little less pressure. And then all of a sudden he wins 9 games by year 2. People are like, what the hell? I thought we were going to go 12-0. You know, so I think USC is in a little trouble.
Yeah, I think Smith would be a good hire there, now you mention it.
Like, do you think Mark Stoops is like, would he even be in the mix for the LSU job, or is he not sexy enough name?
Yeah, I don't think he's a sexy enough name. But he's shown over the past, you know, his biggest improvement over the past, you know, 5 to 6 years is like the recruiting.
How would he not win at LSU? That's my thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, have a good weekend. Enjoy the games.
Absolutely.
See you later, Stucky.
Thanks, brother. Have a good one, man.
Volume.